A guy gets a flat tire and finds the spare is flat too. Where's inflation when you need it? Hi, I'm Rob West. A bad joke, but a good reminder to be prepared before you set out on your summer vacation trip in the car. I'll have some tips for the open road, then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. Call it 24/7. We're always open. 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Okay, so the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration has a great checklist of things to do before and after heading out this summer. We'll put a link to it in today's show notes. If you want to be prepared for anything along the highways and byways, start with inspecting and maintaining your vehicle. It's important to perform routine maintenance and follow your car's maintenance schedule. That'll keep your warranty in good standing and help you avoid breakdowns. So inspect your car's fluid levels, wiper blades, tire pressure, lights, and air conditioning. Next, you'll want to check for any recalls on your vehicle. Dealerships do those repairs for free, but a lot of people still drive cars with safety recalls. Things get busy in the summer, so don't wait until the last minute to schedule repairs. And if you have kids, their safety is your main concern. Children under 13 should ride in the back seat. From birth to 12 months, in a rear-facing seat. From 1 to 3 years, in a forward-facing seat, and a booster seat for kids 4 to 7 years old. It's also a good habit to check the rear seat every time you leave your vehicle to make sure you haven't forgotten about a child or pet back there. Sadly, the NHTSA says that nearly 40 children die each year due to heat stroke from being forgotten in a car. While we're on the subject of safety, you'll want to put together a basic safety kit before hitting the open road where anything can happen. Make sure you bring these items: a cell phone and charger, first aid kit, flashlight, flares, jumper cables, a jack, water and non-perishable food items, washer fluid, and the always useful duct tape for leaky hoses. Now, it may seem liberating just to head out with a general destination in mind, but since you don't always know what lies ahead, planning your trip carefully may save you a lot of headaches. Check road conditions, weather, and traffic before you set out. Smartphones have plenty of apps for that, and of course, they come in pretty handy if you have to call for a tow truck. If you're renting a car, pick it up a few hours early so you can get familiar with it before heading out. Check the manual for safety features. Get acquainted with the dashboard and switches so you don't have to do that while driving. On some makes, even the location of the trunk and fuel hatch buttons can be a bit of a mystery at first. Okay, that's your pre-trip checklist. Now that you're ready to hit the road, try to drive during non-peak hours. Those would be during morning or evening rush hour, Monday through Friday, and weekend afternoons and evenings during summer. Instead, leave between rush hours on Friday or early Saturday morning. On the return trip, try to leave after the morning rush on Monday if you can afford the time away. Also, try to avoid driving at night. A National Sleep Foundation survey found that over 100 million people have fallen asleep at the wheel at some point. Pull into a rest stop if you feel yourself getting fatigued. Get out and stretch your legs. It's also a good idea to keep the air conditioning at a cool setting while driving. Warmer temps may make you feel drowsy. Now, if you have older children who are qualified to drive, a road trip can be a good way for them to gain highway experience, so share the driving. As long as you remain attentive in the shotgun seat, I've got some teenagers and I can attest to this firsthand. You also want to share the road. Keep your eyes peeled, not just for other cars and trucks, but also motorcycles, bicycles, and pedestrians that tend to be out in droves during the warm summer months. Pay attention to the distance you give other vehicles. There used to be a guideline that you should leave 1 car length separation for every 10 miles of speed, but in recent years, analysts have realized you have to give more than that at higher speeds when stopping time is critical. So adjust accordingly and never tailgate. Getting there a few seconds faster is never worth putting yourself, your passengers, and other vehicles at risk. And it goes without saying that everyone should be buckled up. The American Medical Association says traffic accidents are a leading cause of deaths in the U.S. but wearing a seatbelt can greatly improve your odds of surviving a crash. One final thought, make sure you factor gasoline prices into your vacation budget. They tend to go up sharply during the summer, and highway and interstate gas stations tend to have the highest prices. So those are your vacation driving tips. Drive safe and enjoy your summer vacation. Your calls are next, 800-525-7000. Stick around.
This is the time where we all better be on our knees in front of our windows, where we better have the boldness to stand on the truth of God's word, where our allegiance better be to Him. Listen, He alone has an enduring kingdom. He alone makes promises and keeps them. God alone, nobody else.
Airing the Addisons, weekday afternoons at 2 Central on American Family Radio.
The Centers for Disease Control said deaths from drug overdoses increased 15% last year. Some were accidental, but many overdoses were the result of loneliness and hopelessness. Their world was shaken, and they felt they had nowhere to turn. The Bible says our God wants to be an ever-present help in trouble, no matter what we face. When life seems overwhelming, reach out to God and don't listen to the devil's lies. I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
Sound Mind Investing helps Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors who are just getting started, those making investment choices for a company retirement plan or college savings account, and people getting close to their retirement years. SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information is at soundmindinvesting.org. The website also features many articles about common money management and investing topics. soundmindinvesting.org.
Can you imagine for even just a second how many things in this country need to be handled? Can we say border? Can we say the budget? Funding the military? Can we say all of the things that are just completely neglected because our congressmen in Washington, the Democrats who lead the House and establish what's discussed there, they have all control on impeaching the president. So that's what all they're doing. That's all they're doing.
Sandy Rios in the morning. Weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options in plain English? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit MoneyWise.org and click the link that says Find a CKA. That's MoneyWise.org.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Delighted to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Hey, if you want to learn more about our opening topic today, perhaps you've already decided on a staycation this summer, as many families are doing, but if you would like some ideas on that and you're not going to hit the open road, well, our friend Art Rayner has compiled a list of creative staycation ideas that you and your family can do. It's featured on MoneyWise.org today. You can scroll down to the featured section on the homepage, and perhaps those might be just the ideas you were looking for to make a great family staycation and perhaps save some money, given all that's going on right now, putting pressure on our spending plans every day. Hey, we're glad you're along with us today. This is the program where we recognize God owns it all. We're stewards, and therefore money becomes a tool to accomplish God's purposes. Together, we want to apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices, the questions you have, and answer those on the air with you. So if you'd like to give us a call, we have some lines open today, a few of them actually, 800-5555.
800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. A little later in today's episode, we're going to be dealing with the subject of marriage and specifically joint finances. In his book, The Meaning of Money in Marriage, David Augsburger writes this: the handling of finances is one of the major emotional battlegrounds of any marriage. Lack of finances is seldom the issue. The root problem seems to be an unrealistic and immature view of money, end quote. You know, some couples think the answer to money fights, money concerns as a couple, is to avoid them by separating their finances. Well, I'll weigh in on that a little later on the broadcast today, and I'll give you my thoughts on how we should approach that as godly couples trying to find God's heart for our finances. That plus several emailed questions that have been sent in to us we'll tackle today, but let's head to the phones to get us started. Fern is in North Carolina. Fern, you've been waiting patiently. You go right ahead. Hi, Fern. Are you with us?
Yes.
Great. You're on MoneyWise. Go ahead.
Thank you. I appreciate you taking my call. I had a question about where it's best to put funds, whether 401k or IRA. Just to give you a little background, I am at retirement age, but I continue to work and plan to do so, hoping to get vested with the company. My current company does not offer 401k, but will help us set up one. The company I left from did have a 401k, which I invested in to the full amount and left that money there when I left. But of course, now that I'm not with the company, I can't add to it. So yes. I was looking to take that money and start another account that I can add to. And with the economy, I just wonder, would it be best for me to do it in a 401k or an IRA or what?
Yes, very good. So let me ask a couple of questions, Fern, and I appreciate that background. So how long do you plan to continue to work just based on everything you know today?
I don't have a end date. I'm working for a grant-funded program, and it is, of course, temporary because it's grant-funded, but they don't have an end date. I'm hoping to work at least another 3 years to be vested with the company where they do have a retirement plan.
I see. Okay, very good. So you'll become eligible for the retirement plan after 3 years of service. You're not today. What did you accumulate in the 401k from your previous employer?
I wasn't there long, so I only have about $17,000 in it.
Okay, very good. And do you have other retirement assets that you've accumulated?
Yes, I have another small pension from another company, and I have looked at what my Social Security would be when I reach, you know, when I should retire, whether between now or 70, and have reduced my debt and stuff. So now the only debt I have is paying off a car and my home.
Okay. Great. And as you look at the income you might expect from the small pension and Social Security only, not counting the 401k and any additional savings you may be able to accumulate between now and retirement in a new retirement account, do you believe that you'll be able to cover your expenses in retirement based on Social Security and the small pension alone?
Yes.
Okay, very good. You know, that's a great place to be, especially if between now and then, Fern, you stay really focused on trying to get the car paid off, and then certainly the house would be right behind it. Once you can do that, that clearly gets your lifestyle down as low as possible in terms of what the monthly need is, and that's going to help to, you know, really stretch the dollars that are available. So that's a good thing. But anything we can accumulate between now and then, whether that's, you know, taking the money that was put aside previously or additional retirement contributions. That's just going to help to either give you a nest egg if you need it down the road for, let's say, medical related expenses, something like that, or if you needed to supplement your income at any point. Clearly, the longer you can work, the more you can delay your Social Security benefits is better, because that's going to grow by 8% a year until age 70. And so being able to delay that would really help you to be able to get that check up just as high as you can, especially while you're working and perhaps you don't need it. In terms of making additional contributions, do you already have what I call an emergency fund in place of at least 3 to 6 months' expenses in a liquid savings account?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Working
so
on it, but not there yet.
Okay, very good. Well, I would start there, Fern, because I'd love for you to have something to fall back on if for some reason you had unexpected expenses that you weren't anticipating. And so I think being able to take whatever margin you have now, even before you'd contribute to a new retirement plan, and build that up to that 3 to 6 months expenses would be great. If they don't offer a 401k, or at least don't for the next 3 years, you can't open a 401k on your own, but you can open a traditional IRA, and being over 50, you'd be able to put in $7,000 for this year, and that will likely change next year and go up slightly, but around $7,000 in the future as well. But certainly you could do that this year. But I would prioritize the emergency fund first and then the traditional IRA second. That's going to get it into a tax-deferred environment, allow you to take the deduction today, which is a benefit. And then obviously it could be invested at these, reduced levels while we're in kind of a volatile market here, while the market is down. And then, hopefully as it recovers in the years following, as you head toward retirement, you would keep that invested. Because again, the idea is if you don't need it once you retire, you've got your expenses covered, then we need that money to continue to grow, perhaps even for a couple of decades. If the Lord tarries and you're in good health, let's try to plan to age 95 or beyond, to keep that money working for you. So I would say first, the emergency fund, second, the IRA. Does that make sense?
And that does. But I have an additional question then.
Okay.
For the 401k from the old job, should I leave it where it is, where it's not doing anything but just sitting there?
No, I would roll that into the new IRA. So you could combine that. You'd do a rollover IRA. You'd get the surrender paperwork, decide what custodian you want to use, and then you could contribute to that same account with your new contributions, so everything's in one place. Our friends at soundmindinvesting.org could help you, or you could find a certified Kingdom advisor for some help on our website at moneywise.org. And Fern, we appreciate your call. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Siri, what's the best way to save for college?
I'm not sure.
Well, what does the Bible say about co-signing for a loan or investing for retirement?
I don't know that either, but you can find those answers on the free MoneyWise app.
Really?
Sure. You can connect with the online community and get answers and encouragement from MoneyWise coaches.
That sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Got it. Learn more at MoneyWise.org.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I couldn't have had the procedure I needed without CHM's help sharing the bills. That letter from a member displays Christian Healthcare Ministry's purpose to glorify God and serve His people. CHM is the original non-insurance voluntary health cost-sharing ministry, enabling its members to share the cost of each other's medical bills. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
Are you in need of hope, encouragement, and the love of God? I'm Pastor Salem. I'd like to invite you to join us for the Christian Worship Hour. For decades, I've been teaching the Word of God so that people everywhere can experience the love and power of a personal relationship with our Lord. Tune into this station this weekend and prepare to be blessed and encouraged by another life-changing message.
Learn more about our program at ChristianWorshipHour.com.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. Whatever's on your mind today, financially speaking, is it your spending plan in these challenging times? Is it paying down debt? Maybe it's your giving. How do you think about applying the principle of the tithe? What does it look like to give systematically and proportionately in returning a portion of what is God's? Remember, it's all His, back to Him and participating in His work. What about giving sacrificially, even out of our assets? If we still have any appreciated stock in this environment, what about that? Or real estate? Perhaps our giving could be done out of an appreciated piece of property. We know what's been happening in the housing market. Well, whatever you'd like to talk about today, we'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. Coming up a little later in the broadcast, how do you handle money together as a couple? Should you keep it separate ever? Well, I'll weigh in on that. We'll talk about it, plus some of your emails as well. Let's head back to the phones. Jim's calling from South Carolina. Jim, you're next on the program. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, good morning, Rob. First of all, I want to thank you for your ministry and for helping all of us out here listening, and we enjoy your program so much.
Well, thank you, sir.
My question today has to deal with taxes due on rental property, and I'll try to fill in the gaps and explain some of this so we can work through it, hopefully. The property in question we're talking about this morning, the house belongs to my mom. She recently had to go into a nursing facility, and to help offset the cost of that, my sister and I decided that we would rent her home to help pay for those bills that are coming in. So, with that being said, will taxes be due on the rental money next year for her stay there? I'm hoping I'm making that somewhat clear. She is also on Medicaid, and okay. They have certain requirements about your income and also your savings account. You have to be under $2,000. So anyway, just wondering how that's going to affect that. Does she need to file a 1099? Do I need to file a 1099? And because the property that we're discussing, her home, is in her name, my name, and my sister's name, and I am the power of attorney.
Okay, very good. Yeah, well, just generally speaking, Jim, taxes are due in the year the rent is received, so rental income is taxable. You don't have to pay taxes on all of your rental income, though. You're allowed to reduce your rental income by subtracting expenses for getting your property ready to rent and then to maintain it as a rental. So the rental income and expenses would come on Schedule E, the supplemental income and loss, and that'd be filed with a 1040. And as I mentioned, you can take lots of deductions against that, everything from advertising to HOA, insurance premiums, interest expense, property taxes, management fees. I mean, the list goes on. You don't include security deposits in that because those would, you know, end up being returned typically unless you end up keeping it. So I think in her case, you know, there's obviously limits on, you know, what income would constitute needing to file file taxes for a single filing status, age 65 or older, that's $14,250. So if it goes above that, then she would have to file and taxes would be due. And then obviously, as you mentioned, there are eligibility requirements for Medicaid. And so you're going to need to look at that as well, just to see with this income, whether that has any bearing or effect on her Medicaid eligibility, depending upon how much you're going to receive. Does that all make sense?
Yeah, I'm tagging along, just holding on, because this is fairly in depth. But we're going through a realtor and letting them handle the property, and so we're getting a check from that, and then I'm turning around and using that rental money to pay for her care at the nursing facility and do maintenance and pay taxes and insurance on the home.
Yeah. And so what you'd want to do is I would connect with a CPA or accountant, Jim, just to have someone who can walk you through all of this. But obviously that income that's flowing through, that's being collected on the property, would be taxable after the expenses associated with maintaining and making the property available to rent are subtracted. And then the question is going to be, does that rise to the level where there's actually taxes due, depending on how much you're collecting? I suspect it would. And then does that have any bearing then on, you know, qualification for Medicaid based on your state and the amount of income she's going to receive. So you're going to need to look at all of those things. Having good proper records and bookkeeping is really going to be key. But I think especially in this first year, having a CPA that can help you navigate that, make sure that you are accurately reporting the income, but then taking every available deduction against it so you pay as little taxes as due. And you can hopefully continue to, you know, keep those taxes paid, obviously, but use that income in the same way you are, which is great that you have that asset and you're able to convert that to income that can be used for her care. I think this is, a really great idea, great way to go. But, making sure you understand, you know, how to file that, at least for this first year, will be really important.
Right. Very good. Yeah. Good information. I thank you so much for your time, and we really appreciate it. Thank you again.
All right, Jim. God bless you, my friend. We appreciate you. You know, folks, as we think about caring for aging parents, we know that's something on the heart of God. And so as we do that, we know it pleases the Lord based on what we read in Scripture, especially in 1 Timothy. We had the opportunity to talk about that with a caller just a little bit yesterday. Hey, a quick email before we take another break. This one comes from Joan. She says, I have $100,000 that I inherited from my husband's passing. What is the best way to invest it? And boy, Joan, I would just say first, I'm so sorry to hear about your husband's passing. I would say the first thing is take your time. Don't do anything, especially in these first 6 months. Let's get all your documents in place, connect with any financial professionals that you've had a relationship with, get a good handle on where your finances are. I think the key is to make sure you have probably a year's worth of living expenses and that your budget balances, really those are the key. In terms of investing it, I would go slow on that. Perhaps get the counsel of a certified Kingdom advisor in your area at moneywise.org. If you did want to lock some of it up to $10,000 for a year, iBonds would be a great option for you at treasurydirect.gov. And God bless you. We appreciate your email. We'll be right back on MoneyWise. Stick around.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
Are you completely sold out to God? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with From His Heart Ministries.
God knows if your heart is wholly devoted to Him or not. Now, wouldn't it be cool and exciting if you had a heart that's passionate, that's in love and on fire for Jesus Christ?
Learn how to give Him your all and gain everything that really matters. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
Sound Mind Investing offers investing guidance grounded in the stewardship principles found in Scripture. Since 1990, SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire knowledge and confidence related to investing and overall money management. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a wise and faithful steward in the area of investing. More information about SMI and its approach to financial wisdom for living well is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Did you know the MoneyWise listener call-in line at 800-525-7000 is open for business 24 hours a day? It's the number that never sleeps. So when the kids are off to school or you have a few minutes before that power lunch with a client, give us a call and leave your question. We use as many of them as we can on the show. 800-525-7000 is all you need to know to get biblically based answers to your questions here at MoneyWise. Call anytime. You won't catch us napping.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions on anything financial. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. Whatever you're wrestling with today as we mine the scriptures, pull out God's principles around money and our hearts. And because remember, money issues are heart issues. You know, how we handle money, I like to say, is the great revealer of the heart. The late Larry Burkett used to actually say it this way. The way we handle money is the clearest indicator into what's going on in our lives spiritually. Why is that? Well, it really says what we value, where we've placed our trust. If you show me your check register, if anyone keeps one of those anymore, I'll tell you what's important to you, what your priorities are. And the question is, what is the way we're handling money? What does it say about what we value? And if we're not happy with that story that our money is telling, well, what changes do we need to make? Because we don't want to take our cues from the world. We don't want to define our lifestyle by what someone else says it should be, by social media, by our neighbor or friend down the street. We want to define our lifestyle, what God has called us to, on our knees, between us and the Lord. If you're married, you and your spouse, or as a single person, between you and the Lord, saying, God, what would you have me to do with your resources? How much is enough for my lifestyle? How much is enough for my accumulation? Should I live simply? And what does that look like? How much do you want me to put into circulation in your economy? How much to provide for my family? And being able to answer those questions, not in light of someone or something else defining it, but in light of your values, your priorities as a believer, what God's doing in your life, being able to define how you handle His money according to what's most important to you is really the key. Well, we can only do that if we understand the heart of God. Here's what's fascinating, though. There's 2,350 verses in God's Word about money and possessions. Why is that? Well, it's not because God needs more of it. He wants something from us. It's all His. The cattle on 1,000 hills. The earth is the Lord, and everything in it is what we read in the Psalms. So the question is, then, if it's all God's, He wants our hearts. And I believe that how we handle money is really the training ground of the heart. It always has been. God's always been about our hearts. And I think as we look at handling God's money, we realize very quickly that Our financial journey is one of the key ways that God shapes our spiritual journey. And so it's really so key for us to be able to process that, to be able to think through it, and to be able to give accordingly. So let's do that together. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head back to the phones. Karen is in Oklahoma. Karen, you're next on the program. Go ahead.
Thank you so much. My question is maybe a complicated one, but I recently went back to work full-time. I'm a registered nurse, but I teach nursing, which has thrown us into a higher tax bracket. And the last 2 years, we've had to pay in $11,000 to the IRS at the end of the year, which is staggering.
Yeah.
And we're not in that high of a tax bracket, if I can just say that. And I want to know, what can I do to alleviate some of that money going back to them? I've talked to my financial advisor, and the advice that they gave was, well, you're going to have to pay it one way or the other. So you might as well just give it to them. And I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not satisfied with that answer.
Sure. Yeah, I understand. Well, a couple of thoughts. You can make a contribution to a retirement plan that's tax deferred. So do you have a 403B or a 401K at work?
403B, yes, and teacher retirement.
Okay. And are you currently contributing to the 403B?
I was contributing to it. I put half of my paycheck in. For the year, and I was still had to pay in an exponentially large amount of money.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you can do $20,500 this year in 2022, and I realize you may not, you know, most of us don't have the ability to put that much in there, but you can go up to that amount, and obviously that is going to provide a deduction against income. So increasing your qualified retirement plan contributions, whether that's through a 403B or opening an IRA, would help to offset some of that tax that you're paying, because it would reduce your adjusted gross income that would be taxable. Obviously, another way would be through charitable contributions. So, you know, if you wanted to consider making additional charitable contributions, you would have the ability to take a deduction as long as you itemize and get above that minimum standard deduction for 2022. Then you would have the ability to, you know, deduct that from your income. The standard deduction married filing jointly is $25,900. So if you have deductions that go above that, mortgage interest and charitable contributions, things like that, you would have the ability through a charitable contribution to actually reduce your taxable income as well. Those would be the two primary avenues for most folks, unless you had the ability to do, you know, something else with regard to, you know, giving out of assets or something like that. But the most, you know, simple way to do that would be just to, you know, increase your retirement contributions if you have the ability to do that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think our biggest obstacle is we own everything, cars, home, business, all things. So we don't have any write-offs for anything. That's our largest obstacle.
Yeah. And so I think the retirement plan contributions are going to be your biggest avenue. Apart from that, I think you're just going to have to, you know, understand what is your effective tax rate? How much do you really need to be setting aside out of every, paycheck you get as you're working more and bringing in more income, so that you can make those perhaps estimated quarterly tax payments if it's not being withheld, and that you don't get surprised by that tax bill at the end of the year. I know it's frustrating as you see that money coming in and then so quickly going back out, but you don't want to end up paying interest and fees on that by not paying in a timely manner. So once you've looked at every opportunity to reduce your taxable income, at that point, you just need to figure out how much you need to be setting aside out of every check.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
All right, Karen, God bless you, and we appreciate you checking in with us today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head back to an email. We receive emails all the time at questions@moneywise.org, and we try to get to as many of them as we can, and this was a great one. This one comes in from Judy, and she says, isn't the tithe an Old Testament concept? Is it still for us today? And it's a great question, Judy, and I hear from a lot of kind-hearted, meaning folks that really want to be found faithful in giving to the Lord with a question like this. And you're right. It was an Old Testament concept. In fact, the word tithe means 10%. There was actually three tithes in the Old Testament, one for the Levites, one for the temple, one for the poor, which actually occurred every 3 years. And so when you add it up, the quote-unquote tithe in the Old Testament was actually 23 1/3% every single year, and that was just the beginning. Then they had the Feast of Weeks, and they had the Feast of Booths, and there was all these additional tithes. But I think the big idea for us is that, you know, when Jesus enters the scene, he takes giving to an even higher level. He showed us a different way of giving, whole life generosity. He gave the ultimate model of that through his sacrifice. And so we should give as we've been blessed. To whom much is given, much is required in Luke 12. And so we need to be thinking about the tithe as a starting point, not an ending point. We'll be right back on MoneyWise. Stick around.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers real truth for today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
They say actions speak louder than words. Here at the American Family Association, we take that to heart. AFA Action is here to inform and help you get involved in cultural and moral issues. You can also sign up for our AFA Action Alert, which will inform you about these issues every week by email. To sign up and for more information, visit us at afaaction.net. Why are you still sitting there? If you want change, it starts with you.
Sometimes you just need a little guidance to help point you in the right direction.
In 300 feet, turn right.
If you're feeling lost when it comes to your finances, we're here to help. You can connect with a trained MoneyWise coach absolutely free. A MoneyWise coach can help you build a personal budget, develop a plan to knock out your debt, and more. Visit MoneyWise.org/connect. That's MoneyWise.org/connect.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions on anything financial. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Give us a call. I mentioned a little earlier in the broadcast I was going to tackle the subject of joint finances in marriage. Let's dive into that. This is a question we hear very often on this program from folks that really just want to find God's heart and move forward in a way that's productive in marriage as they handle their money. Because what we know to be true is that money is a significant source of conflict in marriage, but it doesn't have to be. I believe that the spending plan, the family budget, can actually be an instrument of peace as you come together and reflect what God's doing in your family through the handling of your finances. And it doesn't have to be my way or your way. I think we can find a together way as we bring it all under the Lord's of Christ. But if you ask any couple what causes the most conflict in their marriage, they'll probably say money. Here's the thing, though. The problem isn't usually money itself or even lack of money. The cause of financial tension in marriage is more often the attitudes, expectations, and assumptions we have about how to handle money. Why are finances such a hot topic for couples? Well, I think it's a heart problem. Heart problems are things like greed, selfishness, anger, and resentment. To put it bluntly, these are sins, and they can affect how you feel about money and how you relate to your spouse about money issues. You see, many couples think the solution to financial conflict is to separate the family money into his and hers, like bathroom towels. Unfortunately, this is not what God has in mind for a Christian marriage or Christian finances for a married couple. You see, author and financial counselor Art Rayner agrees. In his recent article, Rayner noted that 60% of couples split at least part of their finances. Isn't that staggering? 20% of couples separate their finances completely. And here are some of the excuses, that's what they are, that they give for splitting their money. Husband and wife have different money personalities and want to avoid arguments, or they have different financial goals. Some couples say they separate their accounts because of different money management styles. The fourth reason some married couples want to handle their finances separately is that they don't trust each other to make good financial decisions. In other words, couples think separate finances will help them avoid fighting about their differences. But let's think about this. What is a Christian marriage supposed to be? Well, it's the union of two people in Christ, an example to the world of the relationship between Christ and his church. Listen to what Jesus says about marriage in Matthew 19. At the beginning, the Creator made them male and female and said, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." So they know they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Now, separating finances is a step toward disunity in a marriage. We all know that money fights in marriage are normal. We all have them. But don't use fear of arguments or conflict as an excuse to break fellowship in the area of finances. Instead, fight for unity in all areas of your relationship. Keep your finances together. This isn't his money and her money. It's not even your money. It's all God's money. Confess your fear, selfishness, and resentment about money to the Lord and to each other. Pray together for God to help you work toward unity in the area of money management. Commit to love each other in this area the way you promised to do on your wedding day, and ask for God's help with this too. Remember, the book of James tells us, if we lack wisdom, let us ask, and God will give it to us. Well, ask for wisdom and God's intervention to help you in this particular area. Be patient with each other. These are very personal issues, but your relationship is far more important than that. Look for compromises and middle ground. If you're a spender and your spouse would rather save every penny, create a plan that allows for both and is an accurate reflection of the two of you as you move forward. And finally, if you don't have one, make a joint budget. Your spending plan can take the pressure off both of you when you're making financial decisions. As I said, it can actually become an instrument of peace. Of course, there's so much more we can say about issues of money and marriage, but for now, if you're married and have separate finances, let me encourage you today to consider restoring Christ-like unity in this particular area. And by the way, if you want to check out Art Rayner's article and more helpful information about marriage and finances, that's available at our website at moneywise.org. Check it out. All right, let's head back to the phones today. Elaine is calling from Alabama. And Elaine, you're next on the program. Go ahead.
Yes, I was wondering, I'm 62 and I'm still employed, and I'm putting the max amount in my 401k every year. And I was just wondering, because of the stock market not doing well, should I continue to put that amount in?
Yeah. Elaine, are you planning on converting this to an income stream anytime soon? And here's what I mean by that. I guess, when is your retirement date, at least based on what you know today? And at that point, do you plan to start drawing an income from this? Or do you believe your income will be covered from other sources, Social Security, pension, and therefore you'll just allow this to continue to grow?
At 65 is what my target date is, or age, and I will start drawing. Yes, I will start drawing as income.
Okay.
Off the 401k.
Very good. Have you put together what I'll call your retirement budget, which is just a reflection of what you believe your income and, first of all, your expenses, your discretionary and fixed expenses, what those will be once you reach that point?
No, I haven't.
Okay. I would do that. You know, most folks live on somewhere between 70 to 80% of their pre-retirement income. The reason it's lower is ideally we're debt-free at that point. The kids are off the payroll. You know, we can drop life insurance in many cases because we've accumulated enough, and the death of either spouse, if you're married, wouldn't cause a hardship for the other. You're not driving as much if you were driving to work. So fuel costs come down, clothing costs. I mean, there's just a lot of expenses that come down. And so as a result of that, we can live on less. So I think it would be an interesting exercise for you to go through and develop that budget just to say, what is my minimum income that I'm going to need? And then match that to what you're expecting to receive in the form of Social Security and any other income that you'll have. And then beyond that, I think you'll be able to look at your retirement assets that you've saved, this 401k, and see, are you on track to be able to fund the gap that exists between any known income sources and your expenses from the 401k at a withdrawal rate that's low enough where we're not going to impact the principal? And I would use ideally 4% a year. What have you accumulated to this point in your 401k? Do you mind me asking?
The amount?
Yes, ma'am.
$125,000.
Okay. So ideally on $125,000, let's say that grows to $150,000 by the time you retire. I realize it's down a little bit right now. Ideally, we'd only take out $6,000 a year out of that account, or $500 a month. And the goal would be that if that $500 a month plus Social Security plus whatever else you have, if anything, would cover your expenses, then that would be great, because we can invest it very conservatively with a goal of just offsetting that 4% withdrawal every year, making that up through the income, the dividends, and any capital appreciation from a stock portion, and never touch the principal, at least over time. In any given year, it'll be up or down. But over time, the goal would be to at least offset that. If you need to take 5 or 6 or 7% a year, well, you can certainly do that, but you're likely, based on the conservative portfolio you would deploy at that point, you're likely to be eating into the principal. And so then we have to start asking the question, okay, how long will this money last based on how much we're pulling out of it? And if we're not comfortable with that, then the only way to approach that would be to say, well, maybe I need to work longer. Maybe I need to work longer and wait on taking Social Security so that check can grow 8% a year to age 70. Maybe I need to get a part-time job, for a season. Those are the kinds of things, once we have the information, that you can begin to look at. Now, back to your original question, though, should you be contributing in this environment? I think so long as your investment allocation is appropriate given your 3 years out of retirement. So you'd probably want to have an account that's, largely income focused with a small amount allocated to stocks, probably, 70-30 bonds to stocks, maybe 60-40, given that, this money needs to last a couple of decades if you're in good health and the Lord tarries. But if you have the right allocation, then I would say continue to dollar cost average into the 401k, even during this year of incredible volatility, because every time you're buying in, you're buying more shares of the same investments as the market's down. And then as it recovers, when we come out of the other side of this, keep in mind, if we do actually hit a recession, they on average last 22 months. When you pull out the really quick ones, we could see a market down 35%+. We're already down over 20. And so, we could have a good bit more to go, but it should recover in the next several years. And as it does, you'll benefit from these additional contributions. So I would say your steps are, number one, do your budget, figure out how much you're going to need to supplement your Social Security in retirement. Number two, make sure your investment allocation is right in the 401k. You're not being unnecessarily aggressive given your proximity to retirement. And then number three, keep contributing and dollar cost average in with additional contributions. Does all that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you
so much. You're welcome, Elaine. Thank you for your call. May God bless you. Hey, folks, just real quick before we wrap up today, we're currently in our giving drive to meet our operating budget for this fiscal year. So if you've enjoyed these first few weeks of our program and benefited from the principles and practical advice, if you'd consider a gift to help us close out our ministry budget year by June 30, we'd be grateful. You can do that at moneywise.org. You'll see the giving drive banner at the top of the page, and you'll see that we're just less than $10,000 away of all that we need to close out our ministry year here in the next 8 days. Moneywise.org is the place to give. I want to say thank you to my team today. Pat Montague handling our phones, Devin Patrick, my producer, Mr. Jim Henry providing great research. Thank you for being along with us as well. Hope you have a blessed day and come back and join us again tomorrow. We'll do it all over again as we apply biblical wisdom to your financial decisions. Have a great day. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.